Blog Talk Radio.
Geico makes car insurance easy.
Enjoy your flight.
You too.
As easy as saying the wrong thing.
Me too. Really?
What?
Dad, why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Do I look like I'm going on vacation, sir?
It's not how airports work, man.
You could.
Dad.
Are we leaving or?
I don't even want to go on vacation anymore.
I thought I knew you.
She has hairspray.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we're made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. As cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's
you
a product of WBNN. This is the GEMS segment, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. We are on air now from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation being brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Tonight I have two amazing panelists that will be joining me on this powerful topic. The theme tonight is scars mean something. Hey, beautiful, those scars, whether emotional, mentally, physically, or spiritually, are not in vain and have a powerful story and meaning behind them. And my two panelists tonight is Trish Nanku and Dr. Zoe Shaw. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who they are. Trish Nanku is a mom of three who hosted the Strong Talk podcast, where she dove into topics that dealt with mental health amongst women in abusive relationships, to the process and hurdles of overcoming and healing in today's society. She is currently working on her fitness journey and working with women in their 40s who are going through their discovery journey. And on the other hand, we have Dr. Zoe Shaw. She is a licensed psychotherapist, author, speaker, podcast host, relationships coach, and fitness fanatic. She is a mom to five and a wife. She is passionate about helping women who struggle in difficult relationships, especially that sometimes difficult relationships with themselves, overcome shame and codependency. After 15 years in traditional psychotherapy practice, Dr. Zoe jumped off the couch and now helps women using a different modality with a mix of virtual therapy, coaching, services, and programs through a lens of psychology, faith, and a dash of feminism. Dr. Zoe is the author of Ask Dr. Zoe column in the Grit and Grace Project, Women's Magazine, and the Book of the Year, Self-Care. She has been published in Oprah Mag, Recovery Today, Forbes, and is a frequent contributor to Your Tango. So, as you can see, there are some parallels with both of these phenomenal women, but I'm going to welcome them on tonight because the bio is just that. They are more than their bio. Welcome, Trish. Welcome, Dr. Zoe.
Hi there. Good evening.
Thank you so much. Hi, thank you for having us on tonight.
My pleasure. I'm going to start with Dr. Zoe. Dr. Zoe, I want you to share your tagline with the audience tonight.
My tagline is basically about yourself and relationships. So you can't fix other people. You have to focus on changing yourself. So you focus on yourself and your relationships will change.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Dr. Zoe. And Trish, I want you to share your tagline with the audience tonight.
My tagline is it's probably similar to Dr. Zoe's. It's be kind to yourself. I think that a lot of us, we tend to have these negative thoughts and talk back to ourselves. And it's just simply be kind and talk to yourself with kindness.
Beautifully stated. And I'm going to start with the first question of the night. Scars. Do you have a scar? And if so, what type of scar? And I'm going to start with you, Trish.
I would say that the scar that runs deeply with me are emotional scars. But I want to focus on my physical scars. And the reason I want to do that is because in today's society, there is just an elevated level of what beauty is supposed to look like. And when I talk about physical beauty, from the time I was in my teens, I have had stretch marks. And when you look in society, in today's society, a lot of magazines, a lot of commercials, a lot of movies, a lot of celebrities, it's all about having that clean skin. And for myself, being in my 40s, it's only within the last 7 years, I would say, that I actually looked at my body and I thought that my body was beautiful. I spent most of my 20s and my 30s either covering up or very shy or very, you know, I don't want to use the word disgusted because I think it's very deep. I don't think I was disgusted. I was just very shameful of my body because of what was perceived to be beautiful out there. But as I got older and, you know, I've had kids, I've learned to appreciate what these scars, what these stretch marks mean to me. It shows that my body has evolved. It's become into this woman that I am today. You know, it tells you a story of my life. And I used to look at myself and I wondered, why am I ashamed? Why am I ashamed that I went through one of the most amazing processes that a woman can go through, which is, you know, having a child? Why am I ashamed to show that that was part of it? And, you know, becoming into myself and recognizing these scars and recognizing that beauty is so far deeper than what society perceived, a lot. It took a lot of self-love. And like I said, it took a lot of talking to myself with kindness, being really, really kind to myself, and getting that little voice in my head to actually take a step back and start visualizing how I want to be seen. And it really wasn't about how I wanted to be seen by others, but how I wanted to be seen by myself and then my kids. I have a daughter, and I didn't want her to have to struggle with that, and I knew that I had to be that example for her. So I really mm-hmm. started, you know, I had to be that example, because if I was hiding myself because of these little, to me, superficial marks, you know, what is that saying to her, and especially in this day and age, right?
Yes. That is so true. Like, and I can resonate with that because I had stretch marks before I even had my bundle of joy. And I would laugh now because my husband will call them like the tiger marks. So, but it's like those things that are on our body that make us uniquely us. Dr. Zoe, do you have anything to say or encourage Trish in regards to stretch marks? Because, you know, some women, to be honest, they hate stretch marks, and we put everything on them to get rid of them, like cocoa butter, shea butter, bio oil, all of those things to cover up those imperfections that actually make us perfect in our own suit.
Absolutely. I just applaud Trish for talking about this, because so many women don't really want to talk about the things that they feel shameful about. And our emotional scars are very much related and attached mm-hmm. to shame. And I talk a lot about complex shame and helping women overcome shame. But you know what's interesting is, and what I talk to women about often, is the things that we focus on ourselves, other people aren't really paying attention to. And we have this great emotional burden, and we're so worried about things, especially in our bodies. But in my couple of decades of working with clients and speaking to men about their wives in particular, what I hear over and over again from husbands is that they wish that their wives saw themselves the way they see them, that they wish their wives were able to be more free with their bodies. And I just remember specifically one of the men that I worked with years ago saying, you know, I watched her give birth. I watched them, and his wife had a C-section, you know, pull our child out of her body. And I think her body is the most beautiful thing in the world, and it hurts me that she wants to cover it up. And I think too many women don't recognize that. They spend so much time focusing on things that are not important. And so that's something I would tell to a woman who's out there feeling shame about her body. But we all have emotional scars. We just do. And some of us have physical scars as well. But we can't get through a decade or two in our lives without accumulating a couple of them. And many of us also accumulate shame as a result of those scars.
Beautifully stated. And I want to think about the opening song by Alessia Carr, mm-hmm. Scars to Your Beautiful. And the reason why I picked that song is because I want people to know that no matter what type of scar or scars that you have. You are still beautiful in your own way, form, and fashion. And we have to start by letting the lyrics usher into us, to get inside of us, and really listen for the lyrical composition and not just the beat. So, Trish, when you heard that opening song, how did it move you?
I actually saw that song in your lineup when you sent the email, and I said to myself, it is so perfect, and it's one of the reasons why I started with talking about the stretch marks. And because Zoe said something there a few minutes ago. I think where I'm at right now, it is the most freeing that I've been in my life, and it's because of how I see myself now. And you know, it took me somewhere in my mid 30s. And, you know, that song has some words in there. There's a chorus, I can't remember, a part in the song where I remember listening to this with my daughter, actually, this song. My daughter sings, and I think Genesis, you know that. And it resonates with me and with her. And, you know, I think we need more songs like this in our society, or more songs of body positivity or just positivity. But what I'm trying to say too, as well, is the freedom that you have when you totally accept yourself and the beauty that you are, it is beyond this world. Like, I cannot stress to you, like, for me putting on a bathing suit for the first time and actually going out and feeling like anyone is judging me and just being free, or just wearing things that, you know, I would have never worn before, it is such an eye-opener, because people don't see what you see, and that's what was so right. Like, the insecurities that you have, a lot of people don't really, you know, look at those things. It's just all in your head.
Yes, and I love that you said that. And we're going to dive deeper into that, but we're going to go to our next track by international DJ legend Dr. Oladele Ngozi, and then we're going to jump in with Dr. Zoe. Hit that beat, DJ.
Over and over, I have a home found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress. Over and over, make way to the things are possible in you.
Welcome back. For those of you that are just tuning in, this is a product of WBNN. This is the GEM segment, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. We are on air live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And our theme tonight is, hey, beautiful, your scars mean something. And they're worthy, whether they're emotional, mental, physical, or spiritually. And I'm joined by two phenomenal women, Dr. Zoe Shaw and Trish Nanku. And we have our first caller of the night. Caller one, please state your name and where you're tuning in from.
Hi, Mars. It's Jerry Petito, sweetie, from New Jersey.
Hey, Jersey Jewel. How are you?
I'm good, sweetie. You know, I love your shows, man. You always bring it, girl. And I just want to say hello, first of all, to you and to your two beautiful guests.
Good night.
Hi.
Hi. Good night.
Hi. You know, kudos to both of you for putting things out there. You know, when we are scarred and we put it out there, we help others. You all know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And it helps others, you know, relate and say, wow, I'm not the only one. So it's just amazing what you ladies are doing to help other people.
Oh,
thank you so much,
Zoe, Jerry. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay, sweetie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Don't go anywhere, Jerry. I want to read this stanza, and I want to get you to share your insight on it, as well as Dr. Zoe, because I know we heard Trish before the song break. So there's
okay.
One stanza that says, oh, she don't see the light that's shining, deeper than the eyes can't find it. Maybe we have made her blind, so she tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away, because cover girls don't cry after their face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are, and you don't have to change a thing. The world could just change its heart. No scars to your beautiful. We're stars and we're beautiful. How does that stand? Those two stanzas speak to you?
You know,
are you speaking to me? Oh, go ahead, Jerry.
No, you guys go first. You guys go first.
Okay, well, you know, we talked a lot about physical scars earlier, and I have a large history with emotional scars. And I wrote a book about it. It'll be coming out in the fall about complex shame. And I tell my story of getting pregnant early when I was 15 years old and being encouraged to give my child up for adoption, and a lot of shame that was created as a result of that experience, and having to go home and pretend and hide, right? Pretend like that never happened and hide and try to go on with my life. And so when I hear that stanza, I think about how shame makes us hide, and how our scars can sometimes make us hide. But not only, well, when we are able to finally bring our shame to light, when we are able to finally work on and heal, start a healing journey, which often starts with self-forgiveness regarding our shame, not only do our scars make us beautiful, but actually that very shame we can use as a superpower. And so, you know, and I was listening to that song and talking about really God's power with our shame. Sometimes things that are meant for evil, God can make good, right? And so I love to encourage women to not just recognize that their scars can be beautiful, but also recognize that in the healing, they can use their deepest shame as their superpower to walk out their passion in the world, to help heal others. There are various ways that we can do that, but we can turn around that shame to something really amazing and powerful.
Beautifully stated. And thank you so much, Dr. Zoe, for sharing that. And congrats on your upcoming book that's getting ready to come out. Trish, how did those stanzas speak to you? And were those the lines that you were referring to with your daughter?
No, it was, I think it was probably more towards the beginning where she just wants to be beautiful and she goes unnoticed. I think it was the first couple of lines.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes, I see it right here.
Yeah, so it was those, I went and I looked it up, and it was those lines, it was actually the first couple of lines. I think those two lines just really hits hard. And what I wanted to say is these types of conversations is what really starts the process for a lot of people. It started the process for me to heal and to be well, or start the process of healing where I'm at, because my feelings are validated in settings like this. We're listening to each other, and, you know, we're keeping the door open to be starting my podcast and having these conversations with women that helped me to realize that, you know what, how I felt, it was almost normal. It was like, and what Jerry said, there's other people who feel the same way, and I was able to talk through it and start that healing process. So I just wanted to say, Dennis, thank you for having these types of platforms and this type of conversation, because I'm hoping that, you know, with these type of conversations, there's someone listening out there who understand and say, you know what, yes, this validates how I'm feeling. Maybe I can start the process of looking at myself in a different way, and just know that just showing up and listening and having these conversations is a great place to start.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for just holding space, because you and I met online, and we both collaborated on each other's platform, and it's just been so beautiful just to see the growth and the journey so far, similar to Dr. Zoe and I. Jerry, how did those lines speak to you personally?
Well, it's amazing, because God really brought me through mine. And that's it's a very long story, so I won't tell it here. But Genesis, you could always call me. And it was ridiculous what God did for me through what went on. And you know, I'm now a recovery coach. I help people, families, and all that. It all resonated with me, as it probably resonates with 99% of the people listening.
Yes, we're definitely going to have you on a show, Jerry, so we could spill the tea and
sure,
just bust
girl.
The pinata wide open, girl.
Sure, girl.
Now, we're coming up to our soundtrack super remix by international DJ legend Dr. Ngozi. Hit that beat, DJ.
Can't get the best of me.
I see money come between my best friend and me.
What I see,
old friends become new enemies.
Tell them where you've been.
Through a couple of litigations,
I've been
through character assassination.
They tried to put their stick in between my wheels, but they can't stop my motivation, nothing will.
Oh, to the valley where the shadow of death is, I fear no evil, cause I'm protected. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Pick up the pieces. Maybe this isn't the life for me.
I'm thinking
maybe I should leave the music industry. Yeah.
I've been
betrayed by the people I've trusted.
They try to put their stick in between my wheels, but they can't stop my motivation, nothing will.
And far through the valley where the shadow of death is, I fear no evil, cause
cause I'm protected. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, cause I'm walking with the Heavenly Father. Hey, and I do believe that I'm going to prosper, cause I'm walking with the prayers of my mother.
Of my destiny, not to be less than me, but to be more, so don't question me. I came and I conquered, I soared to new heights and still I explore. In my fight to survive, life's still too bright. Keep my eyes on new sights, I continue to fight. So when you try hurting me, even deserting me, know that I'm designed to overcome adversities. Wanna bring out the worst in me, it won't happen, cause I take responsibility for my action. My tenacity, well it has to be everlasting, cause even when it comes to backstab,
you won't get the best of me, even though you broke my heart. I'm gonna pick up the pieces.
Welcome back, y'all. For those of you that are just tuning in, this is Gem's segment, and we are on air live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Tonight's theme is scars to your beautiful. Those scars mean something, whether they are mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual. And I have two fabulous, phenomenal co-hosts tonight, Dr. Zoe Shaw and Trish Nankuth. These ladies are here to bring it, and I hope you're ready to pick up what we're laying down. So welcome back in, y'all. So we've been talking about scars, and we've heard about stretch marks. We've heard about some emotional scars, but I want to open the floor up to see if either one of you have dealt with spiritual scars, whether scars from being involved with something religion or whether you've been on some type of spiritual journey where it has left you scarred in a sense where you're like, is this thing even for me? So I'm going to start with you, Trish.
I really can't think of anything scarring me spiritually. I have been a very spiritual person. I was born into a Christian family, and if it's anything, I would say that it's my spirituality, it's my faith that actually got me through a lot of the trauma that I've had to deal with in my life. I know of others who've had to deal with spiritual scars because of the beliefs that were pushed onto them. But personally, I would say for me, I have not had any.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing, and I'm glad to hear that you haven't had any, because sometimes I feel like when people have them, it begins to hold them back in a sense where they don't want to open up to be receptive to certain things. So same question for you, Dr. Zoe. Oh, wait, go ahead, Trish.
No, I was just going to add, I think that because I'm not sure if I was born as a very open-minded person. I think because I'm a very open-minded person, or I was brought up in a community where I was brought up, you know, we celebrated different religions. Like, we would celebrate with the Hindus, Diwali, we would celebrate Eid with the Muslims. So I never felt scarred or I never felt any type of pressure when it came to my beliefs. And I think it has a lot to do with my surroundings, my open-mindedness, and just the community that I grew up in when it came to religion. And that plays, I think that plays a big role, especially if people are scarred in that way, scarred spiritually. That's just all I wanted to add.
And that's a good point to add. Thank you so much, because I do think how you are brought up and your upbringing can also, you know, play a factor into how you see certain things and digest it. Dr. Zoe, I want to ask you the same thing with spiritual scarring. Have you dealt with anything that may have scarred you spiritually where you wanted to just second guess?
Yes, I have, and it's also one of the reasons why I have such a heart for women, especially women who do have faith in God, because sometimes what happens is that when you are scarred spiritually, your response is to turn away from God altogether or turn away from the church altogether. And, you know, as a child and as an adolescent, I experienced a lot of spiritual scarring as a result of the purity culture in church, you know, and the fact that I got pregnant early and all of the shame. And even just growing up in a fundamental Christian family and church, the concept of where women's place is kind of in the world and then in the home. And I personally have had, you know, some scars regarding that. And what I've noticed from also my clients is a lot of women in particular tend to see God through the lens of the men in their life, because it's their only kind of understanding of a man or a father, instead of being able to recognize that God is so much better and loves you in such a supernatural way, so different than maybe any men in your life that have loved you. And when we only see him through that lens, then we tend to sometimes see ourselves as unworthy or less than. And so a lot of the work that I love to do with women is helping them to understand the lens through which they see God, helping them to understand the ways that sometimes church and pastors have harmed them and have misrepresented the Bible even, and allowed them to kind of stay small, and help them to be able to see that that doesn't mean that they need to chuck the idea of God, that they can have a personal relationship with God that is separate than some of the, you know, teachings maybe of their church or the scars that they have had.
Yes, and thank you so much for sharing that, because you hit the nail on the head. They can have a personal relationship with God. Like, you don't need to confess your sins to a person to say that you believe in God. You don't necessarily need to go into the building to profess how you are rooted with God or your spiritual journey or et cetera. And sometimes I feel when people face church hurt or the church says one thing where it makes you feel as if, you know, am I a hypocrite or are they a hypocrite because they're looking at me a certain way, then they tend to run away from religion and spirituality because of these so-called people who want to put certain things on a pedestal. But when they flip the script, it's the same justice given to them, or is the same statues, or however you want to call it, are they adhering to that? So I think that's so great to say that. And I commend you for, you know, being a teen mom, because sometimes a lot of people don't realize how hard that is for you as a teen, but also for your family. It's twofold. They always want to point the finger at the teen, but I think it's a collective effort to look at the family as a whole too, you know? And it takes both sides. So,
right.
Ladies,
it takes the church and community, yes, to kind of band together and help. But, you know, often, you know, shame is used often in the church especially as a means of trying to control. And so it's used in a good way because people tend to think, you know, the whole shame on you thing, if I shame you, then it will change your behavior and you will do better. But what we actually know is that when we shame people, they don't do better. They just go inward and hide. And whatever they're doing, they just keep it more secret because they have a sense of shame. And so instead, what we need to do is allow people to talk, to be authentic, to encourage them to speak about the things about which they're shameful and to love them through it instead of shaming them for it.
Yes, absolutely. Talk therapy is key. Another thing I want to say, because I know we have our second caller in queue, but I want to give Trish the opportunity to add something to that, but I'm going to bring on our second caller really quick. So caller number two, you're on air live with us from Lagos. My guests are Dr. Zoe Shaw and Trish Nanku. Please state your name and where you're tuning in from.
Hi, Genesis. It's Ava Holly. I'm calling from just outside of Atlantic City, New Jersey. And hello to your beautiful guests. I love your topic tonight. It's amazing the topics you bring and the emotional, you know, depth that they bring as well. So you're just beautiful. You're just beautiful to listen to. And your show is so moving. I consider myself a very spiritual person, so I don't have a problem in that area. Well, I think that there have been things that I've gone through with different religions and spirituality, but that's not the topic of what I want to share. I want to talk more about the physical scars that you guys were talking about and how I think that all physical scars are also emotional scars, because there is a time that you have to get through whatever it is you're going through. So 6 days ago, I was a year cancer-free. On October 17th last year, I had a major, major surgery. I was under the knife for 10 hours. And honestly, it took me three doctors to find who I wanted to deal with this, and I didn't have the time to think about the emotional part of it until afterwards. I mean, I'm still in a lot of pain. I'm pretty mobile right now. I'm doing pretty good. Yet I overcome it every day. And I'm fine when I'm out doing my daily routines. Even though I'm in pain, I'm kind of used to the pain now. But sometimes, you know, when you're in the bathroom and I take my shirt off or something and I see those scars that wrap around my whole body, and I was literally sawed in half, you know, underneath my stomach. So it's been a real ordeal. This past year has been an emotional roller coaster. Yet I say this with respect, because we all have to deal with those scars in stages. That's what I think anyway, you know, and I'm just grateful and happy to be through this and cancer free. And now I can sort of talk about it, but I still get emotional at times, you know. It's like, it's crazy. And the things I've seen and the things I've heard and the women that are going through much more than I did. I didn't have a lot of complications. I'm still in a lot of pain, yet I meet women every day that are going through this in a much different way. And I was very lucky. It got caught early, and I just decided to take care of it in a way to get rid of it for good. And, you know, so I commend you ladies with what you're dealing with. And one of your guests, I don't remember which one, was talking about having her child early. I had my child later, and I had a C-section. Well, that C-section scar is gone now, but it's replaced with a scar that's almost twice the size. but you know, it's great to be here and be able to talk about it and hopefully be inspirational to somebody else going through it.
Wow, thank you so much, Ava, for sharing that. And I know that's very emotional, too. And congratulations on you for kicking cancer in the – I'm not going to say butt, but I'm going to say kicking cancer in the ass, because cancer does need a good kick in the ass. I want to give Trish a chance to either comment on what you just said or what Dr. Zoe said a few minutes ago before we jump into the next track, because I think it's so important for us to just celebrate and love on one another, whether we're near or far away, and just embrace one another as women.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Genesis. I just wanted to say, Ava, congratulations, 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 and I am so happy for you.
Thank you.
There's a word that I want to bring in, and Dr. Zoe said it's authenticity. And the authenticity that I heard in your voice while you're speaking, that is what helps us as a woman to heal or start our healing journey. And just hearing you speak with such authenticity and confidence, I know that if there's anyone else listening out there that has the same issues, that is going to help them, because honestly, listening to you, me, in such a way that, you know, I can hear, I just want to keep saying authenticity. I always, when I did my podcast, I always was very authentic in the words that I used and how I carried myself, because I felt if I was very, very straight and to the point, and I'd be authentic to myself as well, I know that I would touch people, and I know that I would be able to, you know, align myself with people who will not just help me, but I can help them. And just listening to you talk just now, it just resonated a lot within me, because I had two cesarean sections, but also I was also in an abusive relationship where, you know, I've had black eyes, where I've had other types of scars. And it took me back to a place where, you know, I used to look at myself, and I would just cry and weep. But listening to you talk, like, I don't go back into that place anymore, because I have people like yourself speaking out, like Dr. Zoe, like these platforms that bring the authenticity to life and help me to move forward. So I really want to thank you for sharing your story and coming on and just being authentic with yourself. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful. See the power of sharing stories and how the threads are just interwoven with each other just by, you know, listening and just being authentic and organic. So we're going to jump in to our next track, ladies, to just keep this party going, because that's what it is. It is a party, so we could break down these walls. So the track next is by international DJ legend Dr. Oladele Ngozi.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say, wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life. I'm open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Yes, we still have a lot of fight left in us, y'all. So we are on air live from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation being brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. This is the GEM segment, and I'm your host, Genesis Amaris-Kemp, and I have two phenomenal, fantastically purposeful, driven ladies with me. Trish Nanku and Dr. Zoe Shaw, and we are talking about scars. They mean something. Whether they're mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual, they mean something. So what you just heard was Fight Song by Rachel Platten. And one stanza that really stood out to me is, "This is my fight song, take back my life song, prove I'm all right song. My power's turned on, starting right now, I'll be strong. I'll play my fight song, and I don't really care if nobody else believes, because I've still got a lot of fight left in me." So if you're listening to this right now, I want you to put your fist up and punch it in the air, punch both of them in the air, and get your fight back, because as long as you are living and breathing, you still have fight left in you. And I need you to fight for everything that has been inside of you, as well as those things yet to be accomplished. And I'm here to tell you, your purpose is so big and bright, and your destiny is so big or bright, no matter what, no matter if you've went through cancer, no matter if you are a teen, if you are a teen mom or you were a teen mom, no matter if you were in an abusive relationship or whatever the case may be, you are here fighting for a purpose to build and leave a legacy. So I always like to reflect on music that we've heard. So Trish, I want to start with you. How did Fight Song speak to you tonight?
You know, the first two words that you just mentioned, this is my fight song, take back my life song. I think take back my life. I don't know any other way to say it. Like, I feel like going through the process that I've been going through for these past few years, I am getting my life back and seeing my life in a whole different perspective. And I we say that we wish that we had these information back in our day. I wish, and I can't go back to it. I'm happy that I have it now, and I'm happy that we're able to make better decisions and share this information on platforms to help younger women, even younger men. I hope that as we share these stories, that a lot of people don't have to fight to take back their life going forward. I mean, it is a triumph. It has made me stronger where I'm at right now. But I really wouldn't like for a lot of other people to have to go through that, because life is just so beautiful. There's just so many beautiful things to see and do. And I prevented myself from doing that for so many years. So that particular line, take back my life song, it really reaches me in a different spectrum. It really talks to me so loudly.
And thank you so much for just sharing and just open up. And as you were speaking, Trish, correct me if I'm wrong, I could hear a bit of emotions in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounded like the lyrics just really moved you with those words there.
Yeah, I'm also have a bit of a cold as well, but no, it is. You know, when I hear these songs, and one of the songs that you played before, Famous Four by Tornado, it's like, I will be in the gym the last thing that I do. You think I'm listening to some hip-hop, really go-hard song working out. A lot of the time, what has me going is songs like these songs and gospel songs. And when I hear those words, I take back my life song. Like, honestly, until you go through it and you go through that healing, and listen, the healing process never stops. I think I'm going to continue going through a healing process for the rest of my life because I'm always learning new stuff every day. But that line, Take Back My Life song, it is so powerful because you feel like you're, not that you're in control, but you can literally see life for what it is. You can see the beauty in it. Like, I don't get angry. I don't let a lot of things sway my emotions because I'm in such a peaceful place in my life. And that's what I feel like Take Back My Life means.
I just love it because, I mean, just sitting here, just listening to you, listening to Dr. Zoe, as well as our two guests of the night that joined in,
mm-hmm.
Ava Holly sharing her story and just Jerry, it's just like sometimes in life we're just going through the emotions, but if we would just stop, pause and reflect and take our life back and bring things back into the control that we have, we can see how some of the things that we're wallowing over is just so freaking trivial that we just need to move past that. And I feel like sometimes women, like, we are emotional creatures, and sometimes it's like, are we wrapped up into emotions that are no longer serving us? So with that sentiment, Dr. Zoe, I want to ask you the same question. How does that song speak to you?
Yeah, I love what Trish said. I mean, just those words of this is my fight song, Take Back My Life. And when I think about that song, I think about all the fight that I've had to do in my life and the fight that I help my clients do. And the question is, how do we take back our life? Like, how do we? To me, the answer is through our words. It's through our self-talk. Because our self-talk is really what drives everything about how we experience the world. We talk to ourselves more than we talk to anybody else, and we talk to ourselves more than anyone else talks to us. And mm-hmm. so we are truly our biggest influencers. And so we have to fight back by taking power over our words. And often, you know, when we leave our childhood or we leave a dysfunctional relationship, we think that we're leaving the people. And often what we do instead is we take their words, like we leave them or we leave that situation, but we take their words on. And we sometimes can just continue to abuse ourselves with other people's words. And so I encourage a woman out there who may have a physical scar, who may have an emotional scar, who may have a spiritual scar, to pay attention to what she says to herself on a daily basis, to pay attention to what she says when she's feeling sad, angry, frustrated, disappointed, embarrassed, ashamed, and to really begin to take ownership of her words and to learn how to speak to herself in such a way that is encouraging, that is uplifting, to learn how to speak to herself in such a way that she imagines God would speak to her, because that is how we take back our life. That is how we fight.
Yes, y'all. Let's put them dukes up. Let's box it out. Let's fight. Thank you so much. Like, oh my gosh, ladies, I hope you are gleaming from ear to ear, cheek to cheek. And on that note, stay gleaming, stay smiling, and show those pearly white grills. We're going to go to our track next by international DJ legend, Dr. Oladele Ngozi.
Feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best in me, think you've had the last.
Definitely, what does not kill us always makes us stronger. For those of you that are just tuning in tonight, our theme is scars to your beautiful. Those scars mean something, whether they are mental, physical, emotional, or spiritually. I am your host of the night, Genesis Amaris Kemp. This is the GEM segment, and we are live from Lagos. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. I have two amazing, phenomenal women with me tonight, Trish Nanku and Dr. Zoe Shaw. And we're just having a roundtable discussion and just filling the tea on scars and how they have, you know, blessed us, how they have impacted us, and so forth. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Zoe, and ask, whenever you heard what the theme was for tonight's song, how did it cause you to move to say, yes, I want to stand and do this discussion? Dr. Zoe?
Oh, sorry, I think I was muted. It really did resonate with me because it's basically the work that I do. And what I know is that this issue of scars seems to affect women more than it does men. Not that men don't have scars, because our society deems that, you know, women need to look a certain way, present themselves a certain way, and we get this sense of our value is based on how we present ourselves. And so I know that the issue tends to be just a little, it's more poignant for women. And, you know, the other thing that I think about too, when I think of scars and that scars can be your superpower, and that, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger and your scars make you beautiful, is sometimes what I hear from clients is a sense of, but it's not fair. And I just want to honor the reality that, you know, the majority of the time our scars are something that was inflicted upon us, and it wasn't our fault. Something happened. There might have been an accident or maybe a major surgery, like what happened for the woman who called in. And we often get a sense of, why did this happen to me? And it's not fair that I have to deal with this. And I like to just honor the reality that that's true, and not try to skate by that and go straight to your scars make you beautiful, but allow, it's okay to sit with the reality that it hurts and it's not fair. But what I know and what is very self-loving is the reality that we might not have caused our scars, but we cannot depend on other people to heal them or to fix them. And so, yes, someone else might have caused it in our childhood, or there might have been an accident that wasn't our fault, but it is up to us. We have the responsibility, and we really owe it to ourselves to be the one to heal our scars. And when we accept that reality, when we grieve the fact that it's true and we accept it and we walk in that strength, then what doesn't kill us truly can make us stronger.
Yes, and thank you so much. And you hit on something powerful there, because you also talked about, you know, that sometimes it's just for women, or like women, we want to talk about it, but I want to encourage any males listening tonight that don't just feel like this conversation is geared towards the women. We understand that you have scars. And, you know, sometimes the world system tells you to be quiet, but I want you to use this platform to liberate yourself and to stand up and speak out, because you may be the only man that someone else hears, but it's so important that we don't hide behind our scars. We embrace them and we show them to the world, because the scars is what makes us human. So I just wanted to just piggyback off of that, because I know what you said was very in-depth. Trish, I know you're a mom and you have three kids, similar to, you know, Dr. Zoe. She's a mom of five. But with you having a boy, how do you help him deal with some of the scars and some of the things that he goes through?
Well, I actually have two boys and a girl, and you actually touched on a point just now where I believe that men in our society are taught from a very young age to suppress their feelings. Oh, you know what, be a man. You know, you're telling, like in my culture, in the Caribbean, you know, you hear people saying that to 4 and 5 year olds, oh, don't cry, be a man. And I'm like, you're a kid. So from a very young age, you're being taught to suppress some of their feelings and their emotions. However, for myself, I can say that I think I made that mistake earlier on with my son, who's 20. But he was very sick from a young age, from when he was born. And it opened me up to, which made me look at the way that I was processing things that he was going through as a young boy. And that's when I decided that I had to take a different approach and have him be able to talk to me in things that he was going through. Like, he wasn't able to play sports. And, you know, as a young boy, he's very athletic for a boy, I must say, but he wasn't allowed to play contact sports, right? And having him talk to someone about it and even share this feelings with me was hard at first, because his dad was brought up in a culture that, you know, you have to suppress your feelings. I'm sorry, I'm suffering from a cold here, so I'm trying to not cough on air. But with my son, there was a learning process thing for my first son where I had to try and get him not just to talk to myself, but also to professionals at the hospital, because, you know, there were certain things that were limiting his life. And by talking to these professionals at a very young age and getting their feedback, it helped me in the way that I was even going to raise my younger son. And let them know that it's okay to share feelings. It's okay to even cry. Like, I know that my son, my youngest son, for a while, like, when he gets angry or gets emotional, he will cry and he'll think something's wrong with him. And I'm like, no, cry it out. Let it flow. And when you let it out, let's have a conversation about it. And I think we have to normalize that with even men. I'm in my 40s and I'm dating, and there's a lot of men in their 30s, 40s, 50s who have trauma that they haven't dealt with. And that is what causes a lot of issues in these relationships. And I think for us as women, while we're going through this, and some of the understanding that I have, like when I speak to men on a daily basis, I'm like, you need to really look into yourself anyway and see what it is that's preventing you from talking about the things that from childhood that has been affecting your relationship. Or do you even know? Do you even know you have a problem? You know? But with my own children, I've encouraged them to share their feelings. Like, I talk to them about any and everything. And I encourage them to come to me and talk to me about any and everything. And that's the kind of relationship that I've built with them. And that's the kind of relationship we need to strive to have with our kids.
Wow. Ed, when you first started and you said that the Caribbean culture and how they say boys aren't supposed to cry, you're supposed to tough it up and et cetera. With me being, you know, Caribbean too, I feel like, you know, that starts to, you know, diminish men and, well, young boys who become men to speak out, speak up and speak out about certain things, it begins to, you know, turn certain aspects.
Validate their feelings.
Yes, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pause there for now because I want to grab the third caller that we have tonight to see how they're resonating with our discussion so far. So caller three, you're live on air with Genesis, me the host, and Dr. Zoe Shaw and Trish Nanku. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, everybody. This is Tiana Speaks. I wanted to just add something that I feel to the conversation. Excuse me, sorry. I didn't want to clump either. So when it comes to the scars museum, I have a lot. Like, nobody would have a clue. I remember sharing things with someone I used to date, and he said, your life should be like a Lifetime movie. The one thing that I've noticed when people have scars and pain, a lot of time they carry a bitterness, that absolute bitterness, and they can't let go. And that bitterness spills into, like, other relationships because they haven't let go. What I've learned to do is to find out my part, even if I didn't do anything wrong, with decisions that I make that could have, you know, so that way I don't make them again. Another thing is to be able to forgive, even if that person doesn't deserve it, I do it for myself. That way I don't have to carry it and let it go. And I don't give that person space in my mind. The only time that I want to bring it up is if, you know, I'm helping someone else that's going through the same thing. That way, you know, that I don't have to watch them go through the pain that I went through. But I learned the best thing to do is to really just forgive, because some things I feel, I look back in my life, I'm like, man, that was really messed up. That was really unfair. And I know this, and I definitely acknowledge that. But me holding on to it is not going to help me. It's just going to hinder my success. I'm glad that I'm over it. I'm glad that it's in the past. And I'm not saying that I know other traumatic experiences. Some people have went through a lot of things that it's just not easy to get over. So I'm not trying to make it sound like it's, you know, something that just happened overnight. But to just one thing that I do when I'm hurting or someone that's hurt me and I remove that person from my life, anytime that pain hits me, I just pray it out my system. And I say, God, remove this from my system. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to think about this. And let me tell you, it absolutely works every single time. It works just when I pray and just it's a release from my system. And I hope that anybody listening who has a lot of scars and is hurting and going through pain, and any of you ladies, I hope that you do find a whole lot of peace, that any peace that you've been searching for, or anybody in your life that you know has been searching for peace, I hope that you all find it. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you so much, Tiana. And I want to open the floor to either Trish or Dr. Zoe to just comment on what you heard from Tiana Speaks.
Yeah, I think that was such a beautiful commentary, really, about her being able to take the power over her own self-talk. I think that's exactly what we're talking about today, is recognizing what you're saying to yourself and utilizing your prayer, your meditation, your self-talk to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Zoe, for just sharing that. Trish, would you like to say anything based on what you just heard Tiana open up and shared?
Yeah, you know, forgiveness, it's not for the other person. It's definitely for yourself. But I think it's a process that we have to go through. I know for a very long time, for myself, I didn't recognize that. I always think it's always about the other person. I had to go through so much, like some of the stuff that I had to take, like, I had to really validate my emotions, and I think validation is key, because, like I told you, you know, invalidating, especially men's emotions, but invalidating our own emotions personally, it's huge. That is what really stunts us in our growth. So I had to learn forgiveness. I had to learn that it wasn't for the other person. It was to help me in my journey. And I know that we're talking about these steps and we're talking about our journey. I must say to anyone listening out there, it is not as easy as it seems. Like, when we were talking, like, it took me years to get to this place where I'm talking about it and acknowledging it. And it took time and it took patience. It also took creating a space amongst people that I could trust. And testing even myself with the feelings that I had. So I just wanted to say, when it comes to forgiveness, you may not be there right now. You may not be even at the point where you're validating your emotions. But as long as you're recognizing some of the things that we're talking about, recognizing even your emotions, that is a huge start. And have patience with yourself.
Thank you so much, Trish, for sharing that, because sometimes it can be very hard to have a space of forgiveness for, you know, ourselves as well as the other person, because we allow that hurt to take over and control us. But then the forgiveness part is liberating and freeing once we can get to that part on our own. So I want to thank you for sharing that. And now it brings us to the segment of the show as we wind down, which is final thoughts. So I'm going to start with Dr. Zoe first and then followed by you, Trish. Please share your final thoughts of tonight based on, you know, the conversation as a whole, as well as our three guests that called in.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been a phenomenal conversation, and I just want to thank you for giving the opportunity for people to listen, for people to call in, and for us to really have discussions about our scars, which is not something we talk about regularly. And, you know, as Trish was talking about forgiveness, I was thinking about my favorite quote about forgiveness, and I think it's by Jerry Dapolinsky, and that's that forgiveness is giving up all hope of a better past. And sometimes, you know, when we sit in bitterness, when we talk about grief, because I think lack of forgiveness is us staying in a grief cycle. And part of that grief cycle is bargaining, where we try to kind of make the past different. Like, if this hadn't happened, or if this person hadn't done this, then I wouldn't be dealing with this today. But true forgiveness, it's not about the other person. It's not even necessarily about you. It's about releasing all hope of a better past. And when you can let that go, you don't have to hold on to the bitterness. And the amazing thing about that is that sometimes people hold on to it because they feel like they're punishing somebody else, or they don't want to give something to somebody else. But when you're just releasing all hope of a better past, then you're freeing yourself for an amazing future.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for just coming on to share and hold space with myself and Trish. Trish, how did tonight's episode speak to you? What are your final thoughts for tonight's segment?
I'm always, always thankful for speeches like this. You know, I came across a quote where it stated, your scars are someone else's sign of hope. I know that just listening to some of the stories that we heard today, you know, I believe it was Ava, you know, just the authenticity from her voice, and her previous caller sharing those stories, it gives me hope that us as women, not just women, I want to encourage the men out there as well, but, you know, I think that us as women, we're really hard on each other. We have been really hard on each other in the past and in generations before us. I think there's more of a sense of coming together more recently, but these are the types of platforms that helped us to heal, and these are the platforms that have helped me over the last 2 years. So I just wanted to ensure that, you know, if you're listening out there, know that there is hope, and as long as you have hope, you will be okay. And I wanted to thank you because, you know, this has been a conversation that I haven't had a conversation like this in a very long time, in regards to, you know, some of the trauma and experiences that I have had in my past. I haven't shared it on a podcast recently because I used to do the podcast a few years ago. So, you know, just listening to Dr. Jolie, listening to you, Genesis, and listening to the callers coming in, it also helps me. And as I said, you know, it's a continuous development of growth that we have to go through on a daily basis. And surrounding yourself with people who either are on that journey or are positive and are willing to share these stories. It's a form of therapy for myself. So I wanted to thank you all, and thank you for sharing your stories and allowing me to be on this platform to share my journey with you as well.
My pleasure, and thank you so much, Trish, for just opening up and just sharing everything that you shared tonight. I mean, it is just incredible, and I know it's definitely going to resonate with people out there. And my challenge before we jump into, you know, Ngozi time is for anyone listening tonight that you continue this conversation, whether it's behind the scenes, on air, or wherever. We need to continue the conversation of getting people to talk about their scars, because talking about it is therapy and it is healing. And, you know, that's also promoting our growth, whether it's personal or professional, whether it's mental, emotional, spiritual, or et cetera. We need to have wellness in all areas of our life on a holistic level. So I just encourage you to just continue to have these transparent, organic conversations and go beyond the surface level with people in our lives, as well as those we may not know, but you never know how just opening up and just being vulnerable could share how your paths were crossed for a reason and how they can be intertwined. So now we're going to jump into Ngozi time.
Your challenges are a young group from Houston. Welcome Beyonce, Latavia, Nina, Nikki, Kelly, and Ashley, the hip-hop rapping Girls Time.
Choices, always keeping in mind that marriage is the most important. Now, marriage can be a source of joy and love and mutual support, but why do we teach girls to aspire to marriage and we don't teach boys the same? We raise girls to see each other as competitors, not for jobs or for accomplishments, which I think can be a good thing, but for the attention of men. We teach girls that they cannot be sexual beings in the way that boys are. Feminists. A person who believes in the social, political, and economic equality of the sexes.
You wake up, post up, run around in it, blossom on it, the diamond, my diamond, the rock, my rock. I woke up like this, I woke up like this, we flawless. Ladies, tell them I woke up like this. Ladies, tell them, say, look so good tonight. Goddamn, goddamn, say, look so good tonight. Goddamn, goddamn, goddamn. Mama taught me good home training. My daddy taught me how to love my haters. My sister told me I should speak my mind. My man made me feel so goddamn fine.
Skeleton Crew, 4 stars. A perfect score, the challenger Girls Time receives. 3 stars, Skeleton Crew. Champion once again. Congratulations. We'll see you next week.
All right, all right. We love this show tonight. Of course, Jess's Mars Kemp and the Jam segment, and I love young lady Zoe, Dr. Zoe, and, of course, Trish. And she was dealing with a cold tonight, and she still fought it out. It was great on the mic. Tomorrow night, we come back on this wonderful and outstanding Beverly Nation with all-time classic. And it's coming from On Man, the 2022 International Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting Trini. It's a Tara Strength tomorrow night. And, of course, the name of the show is Know Your Rights. The original BevNet Classic, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time, right here on the one and only Beverly Nation. Of course, WNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X. All of them in the name of Ngozi on Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or I want for program tonight? Ole day lay, that goes with my gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer. All of them in the name of Ngozi, the doctor. Saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now back to Class of 2021, right here at Beverly Nation, the wonderful Genesis Amaris Kemp.
So I definitely want to, you know, come back on y'all and say the reason why I picked this topic is because sometimes we don't take the time to discuss the hard stuff. We want to discuss the easy things, but we never want to, you know, just break bread or just share in whole space to discuss, you know, topics that may be hard to just open up and talk about it. And I want to let y'all know that, you know, sometimes talking about these things may be hard for us, but they may be liberating for other people. Our goal whenever I think about GEMS is to share content that's educational, while inspirational and motivational, while also weaving in DEIB, which is diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, because it does take all of us coming together to make this world a better place, and what better way to do it than to link arms with those who are near or far from us, and, you know, just embrace one another and celebrate each other, because we would not be, you know, who we are without, you know, our ancestors, or without, you know, just climbing on the backs of other people who have paved the way for us, whether they're still here or not. And I want to encourage you to take some time to sit and really ask yourself, what type of scars do I have? And how have they helped me? How have they caused me to mature? How do I still need to overcome some of them? Are there areas in my life that I haven't tapped into fully because of X, Y, and Z? And how can I liberate myself in order to liberate others? And challenge yourself as well as somebody else to have these powerful conversations. So once again, I'm Genesis Amaris Kemp, the host of tonight, and my two guests that joined me were Trish Nanku and Dr. Zoe Shaw. And I want to sign out by telling you, have a blessed and prosperous night. If you're interested in learning more about what I have going on, head on over to genesisamariskemp.net or follow the podcast, GEMS with Genesis Amaris Kemp. It's available on 40-plus platforms. And you'll also get to hear some of the segments that I did with Dr. Zoe Shaw early on, as well as Trish Nanku. Have a blessed and prosperous night and evening, y'all. Thank you.